where we'll go really deep into the things that we're talking about now. Does that make sense? So this is a real general overview. We've been talking a lot about how to actually hear God's voice, how the different ways he speaks. We've been talking about, what, past 3 weeks, right?
Yeah.
Longer than that? Yeah. And we've gone through. Why don't you shout out the different ways God speaks? You guys remember? Through other people, yeah.
Smell,
yeah. Your senses, right? Audible voice, yeah. Yeah, impressions, thoughts come in your head, yeah. His word, yeah. Anything, a donkey, right? God can use anything. But there are real patterns of like how he speaks or just certain ways that he speaks like to all of us. And we talked about, that's right, like feeling our five senses. We hear the audible voice, dreams. And that's what we're going to be talking about this morning. We're going to be talking about dreams and the importance of dreams. And I just want to start right off, and I just want to, like, demolish this idea that only certain people dream, okay? That's, like, completely false, okay? Everybody dreams. If you're a human being, or even a dog, my dog dreams, okay? If you're a human being, see, I'm all foggy. That extra hour is not good, man. If you're a human being, you dream every single night. Did you know that? Every night. You know how many people have come up to me after we've done teaching? We've done a bunch of teaching. We've done workshops on dream interpretation. They say, oh, Paul, I never dream. I was like, are you human? Are you breathing? Yeah, you dream every night. It's scientifically proven. Every human being dreams every night, unless you got some kind of weird sleep disorder. But that's different. We'll pray for that if you got that. But the thing is, it's like we don't always remember our dreams, okay? And that's the key right here. And there's ways to actually practically steward receiving dreams from God, letting God allow him to speak to you through your dreams. And we'll talk more about that when we go on. Like I said, this is just like a quick overview about dream interpretation. Now, with all the prophetic ministry, there's one thread that connects all of the prophetic gifts, all the prophetic ministry, all the prophetic offices. There's one simple thing. And if Lindsay Gaines was here, I'd ask her. But it's all about relationship. All about relationship. Everything he does in the prophetic, it's about relationship. Relationship with you and relationship with one another, us as a body. Okay? That is his number one motivating force, is relationship. Okay, so we have to like kind of look at the prophetic and the prophetic giftings through that lens, that he wants relationship with you and he wants us to be in relationship with each other. Okay, love the Lord your God with all your heart and love your neighbor as yourself. Right, so we need to look through that filter. And this kind of like when the Lord really showed this to me, it really opened stuff up for me, especially about dreams. He showed me this picture. I was like, Lord, what's up with like these weird, crazy dreams, you know, that I know are from you, but I have no idea what they are. We've got flying saucers, and I remember one dream I had like cruise ships flying in the air and they crash, and I mean crazy stuff like that. I mean, come on, Lord, like what are you doing here? And he reminded me of a thing I do with my kids. And some of you guys probably do it with your kids too. It's like, if I want my kids to come close so that I can like get them, tickle them or, you know, whatever, or wrestle around with them, you know, I'll kind of just like whisper like, hey, I got a secret, and they'll come up real close and then I'll get them, you know, you guys already do that, you know, I'll tickle them or whatever. And the Lord reminded me this picture when I was asking him, Lord, what's up with these dreams? They're so crazy. And he's like, I want to get close to you. Dreams actually promote or like provoke you to come closer. Think about dreams like God's whispering to you. He's like, hey, son, daughter, I want to get close to you. I want you to get close to me. And he's whispering to you. Because what happens is like there's no, We want so bad, our flesh wants so bad, some sort of like dream interpretation manual. This means this, this means this. Okay, cool, check, check. This is what my dream meant. And what does that do when we do stuff like that? Dining and dashing, yeah. Where's the relationship? It's absent. It's completely absent. There's no back and forth. There's no dialogue. It's like, oh, cool, checklist. Because trust me, there are not tons. There's like a good handful of dream interpretation books where they literally say, an alligator means lies. This means this. This means this. And that is like, don't get me wrong, those things are good to start and to kind of stir stuff up. But if you're using some sort of like decoder ring to your dreams, like you're going to miss it completely. I'm going to tell you right now, it's all about relationship. So the Lord is whispering to us when we dream dreams. There's all kinds of other reasons why he gives us dreams. Another reason is sometimes we just can't hear it in the natural, and like when we're awake, we can't receive it. Like we have like such a filter, yeah, that God has to like get beyond our brain and speak to our subconscious. Does that make sense? Because like if somebody came up to you and said, some kind of crazy thing, you'd just be like, pass it off. And you don't even think about it. But if we have a dream, you're kind of like you're there and you're kind of watching the movie and you're going to get it whether you like it or not. And out of God's mercy, he does that. Because sometimes our ears are stopped up. No, you're like, no, Lord, I don't want to hear you. No, I don't want to hear that. We do that to the Lord, And so another reason why he speaks to us in dreams is to like, out of his mercy, he wants to reveal to us things, secrets of all kinds of nature. Anyway,
I've said this a couple times in the last few weeks, is that, I've not had one major life change that I didn't dream about it before it happened. And dreams are so powerful. Not every dream is from the Lord. Ecclesiastes 5:3 says, as a dream comes when there are many cares, so the speech of a fool when there are many words. We do dream dreams that don't mean anything sometimes, okay? But as to the fact that God speaks through dreams, let me just give you a quick, this is not exhaustive, but just a quick rundown of some foundational biblical things about dreams. This is not New Age. This is not some weirdo mystic weirdness that is available in the occult or something. This is biblical stuff. God probably spoke more in dreams through the scriptures than probably any other way. Genesis 23, God warned Abimelech in a dream. Genesis 28, 10 through 16, he talks to Jacob about the future. And remember Jacob's ladder? That's a dream. That's the same dream Jesus used in the New Testament to refer to himself. So God gave Jacob a dream about the Messiah back all the way back then. He did it again, Genesis 31:10, encouragement, instruction. Genesis 31:24, he warned Laban not to mess with Jacob. Genesis 37, he revealed Joseph's destiny to him in a dream. And then you got the cupbearer. Genesis 40, verse 5, he talks to the two people about the dreams, when Joseph was in prison and there was the two people there, the cupbearer and the baker. One had an encouraging dream. One of them had not so encouraging dream, but both came true. God spoke to these gentlemen in a dream. Pharaoh, Genesis 41, he warns Pharaoh about a famine coming on the whole earth, right? That was in a dream. He spoke to Gideon through the Midianites' dreams. Midianites, when he was going up to defeat the Midianites, he was terrified, and he sneaks into the camp, and he hears the Midianites talking about a dream they had where Gideon killed them all, basically. So it encouraged him that God had given him the land, or given him the defeat of his enemies. So Solomon had that powerful dream that, ask of me anything you want. Remember that dream that Solomon had? How powerful that was. That's where he gained his wisdom, when he asked God for wisdom. That was 1 Kings 3:5. Daniel 2, you know, Nebuchadnezzar's dream about the statue. You know, how powerful was that? You know, that's what gave Daniel his inroad into the court, really. What gave him and exalted him at a higher place was him able to interpret that dream. And God was speaking through a heathen king. And so how powerful was that? You get into the New Testament. Joseph, how many times did God warn Joseph? Don't be afraid to take Mary as your wife, right? An angel appears to him in a dream. Then he says, get up, out of here. They're trying to kill the son. Go down to Egypt. That was a dream. And it just goes on. Numbers 12:6, if there is a prophet among you, I, the Lord, shall make myself known to him in a vision. I shall speak with him in a dream. Job 33:15, in a dream, a vision of the night, when sound sleep falls on men, while they slumber in their beds, then he opens the ears of men and seals their instructions that he may turn man aside from his conduct and keep man from pride. He keeps back his soul from the pit and his life from passing over in the Sheol. Acts 2:17, and it shall be in the last days, I will pour out my spirit upon all mankind. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams, because they sleep all the time. that part wasn't in there. So, you know, it's important. That's not an exhaustive list, but it's so important that we do pay attention to dreams, because God does speak through dreams. And like I said, I've never had a major shift in my life without having a dream reveal it to me. And it's important that we pay attention. Okay. So the catch with dreams, you know, Paul was touching on this. It's about relationships. Dreams are often, sometimes dreams are literal dreams. Have you ever dreamed something and then maybe the next day or the next week or something, it happens? Anybody ever experienced that? Okay, a few people have. That's pretty powerful. Well, sometimes dreams are like that. They're literal, and they will literally happen. Sometimes dreams are, there's like we talked about last week, you know, Jesus spoke in parables. A lot of times they're metaphoric. You know, there's interpretation involved. Y'all remember the dream I had about the guy at the gym who had busted his ribs, you know, and I kept thinking that God wanted me to go pray for him, that he would, because I kept dreaming over and over again about this guy with, and in the dream he would have this bandage wrapped around his rib cage and he had a busted rib. And so I finally had dreamed it like so many times, I was like, I got to go find this guy. So I went back to the gym that I used to work out at and was looking for him because I knew he worked out there and his wife worked there. And after not being able to find them, I asked at the front desk, I said, hey, is so-and-so still work here, you know, and her husband who works out here all the time? And they were like, oh, no, they're not here anymore. You heard about them, right? I'm like, no, what's going on? They've separated, and they're getting a divorce. And I'm like, and I was devastated, you know, because I really cared about this couple. And as I was walking out the door, all of a sudden the light bulb comes on. Busted rib. Where's the rib in the Bible? You know, Adam, you know, Eve was made from Adam's rib. So God was speaking a message, and he wanted me to pray for these guys. But it came in symbolism. You know, and a lot of times, you know, this is going back to Paul's point, a lot of times in the prophetic, we may get a picture of something or we may have a dream about something, and it's not literal. But it's in order that we would seek God. What does this mean, Lord? And it also kind of, you know, it tests us a little bit too. It makes sure that we care enough about the things of God that we actually pursue him for insight. You know, it's the glory of kings. It's the glory of God to hide a matter. It's the glory of kings to search a matter out. You know, our glory is that God will take something and he hides it not from us, but for us. So that the people that really care enough to pursue it so that you can seek God. Lord, what does this mean? Father, I want to know. I'm seeking you. And he loves that, man. When he gets excited, when we're excited about his things and that we care enough about him to pursue him. And when we do that, he gives us more and more and more. So a lot of times I believe that's why he gives us these prophetic pictures that are not literal. It's so that we'll seek him for it.
Tag team. No, I mean, that's right. It's all about relationship. It's all, he loves when we get close to him. And there's also, like, there's a responsibility that comes with the revelation. And in the pursuit, in the proximity of being close to God, that prepares your heart actually to minister the revelation. You know what I'm saying? Does that make sense? Because when you get close to God, it is impossible not to be changed and to be made more in his image. He is the kindest, most loving person I have ever met. And when I get close to him, it changes something in me. And then when I minister a revelation or the word of God, I can actually minister not just the word, but his heart. Does that make sense? That is just as important to the Lord as the actual word and the revelation. Does that make sense? I know, Keith. That is so key. Because so many times we like are so wowed by the prophetic and we're so wowed by the accuracy. But like sometimes God's heart is like missing. And like that is dangerous in the sense that sometimes it builds up pride. It like error kind of creeps in at that point. And sometimes we are communicating the words, but without the actual heart behind it. So it's huge. So proximity is like, that's why God does it. That's why God gives us dreams. There's a scripture that just popped in my head. I can't remember. It's in Job where it talks about how the Lord actually hides things and gives it to us in dreams to protect us from pride. You know, you got it? You got that scripture? But
you want to read it again? Or you?
No, that's fine. Yeah, you can pull it up, man. But, you know, there we really want to talk about, you know, specifically, okay, how do we hear, how do we receive dreams from God? And just like the prophetic words or we're listening for the voice of God, you know, we're hearing three voices. You know that, right? Anybody know what the three voices are that you're hearing? Go ahead and shout them out if you know what they are.
God,
and the enemy. That's right, right? We are spiritual beings, so we hear from two kingdoms, and we hear on our own soul, right? Our own soul kind of stirs stuff up. So there are three types of dreams, really. There's a soulish dream, a dream that you're actually, in even modern psychology, I'm not a big fan of modern psychology, honestly, but they do actually borrow stuff that is biblical. And, you know, sometimes it helps us, we flush through and interpret things in our life by dreams. That's why dogs dream. You know, dogs aren't getting, like, dreams from the Lord, okay? But they're actually, like, flushing through. Well, I guess I haven't talked to a dog, but, yeah, okay. Well, I probably, we're not going to go there. All right, so we hear, you know, and then sometimes you just have, you know, some funky food that night and you just have, or you watch some crazy movie and you're just kind of like flushing it through you're processing it through your subconscious. And then there are dreams from the enemy, you know, where the enemy is actually either, there's a real easy litmus test with the enemies. First off, it's unbiblical. Number one, it's unbiblical. Number two, or like the principles of the Bible, obviously, like it comes against the principles and the heart of Scripture. And number two, it produces all the negative emotions that the enemy uses to tempt us, okay? And you guys all know that, fear, lust, all that stuff, okay? And that's an easy litmus test. Sometimes when I wake up and I had some funky dream, and when I think about it, I just fear wells up. Ding, 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 red flag, that's the enemy, okay? And so, because when God gives us prophetic dreams, they might be kind of scary, actually. You might have some dreams that are kind of funky or like kind of weird. But when you pray about them, and it shouldn't be producing fear, okay? Does that make sense? Yeah? Because God doesn't motivate us necessarily with fear. He motivates us with love and with relationship, okay? Yeah, and peace, yeah, totally, not fear. And so when we get have a dream from the Lord, it might be super funky, but when a lot of times, real practically, you can actually, one thing I can tell is I remember it very clearly when I wake up, immediately when I wake up. Sometimes it will actually wake me up, you know, the dream itself, and I'll remember all the details about it, you know. And I don't know, what are some other ways you guys kind of can differentiate between?
Well, the simple principle is if you want dreams, you ask for it. So I do that every night. Lord, I commit my thoughts, whatever happened today, that needs to be flushed and processed, pain, emotions. But Lord, move this out so I can hear your voice during the night. And Psalms talks about, you know, speaking through the night and encouragement that Lord brings and minister to your own soul, body, and spirit during the night. So positioning yourself practically at night. Just be conscious that you are asking the Lord to give you dreams. And sometimes they come, sometimes they don't. But as a habit, I mean, again, there's this nurturing, this discipline that you have to have is the wrong word, that you do in order to receive. It's like if you want good fruit, you're going to take care of your tree. So, you know, take care of your heart at night and your mind and position yourself to dream with the Lord. The second thing is I would do is when you have a dream and you wake up, either take your phone and do a voice memo. If you are alone, if your wife is right there and you don't want to wake her up, you can take notes. But it's important, as again stewarding what the Lord is giving you, to record it. And the reason is, yeah, you wake up and you remember the dream, but as the day goes on, you tend to forget details. And the problem is that, again, if you think of your soul, your mind, your spirit as a tank, you're filling it with all kinds of experiences throughout the day. And if this tank, and you have a nice dream from the Lord, and you don't either write it or you share it with somebody, you will tend to forget some of the details. Now, it doesn't mean if you lost the dream and, oh my gosh, I wasn't a good steward. God is amazing at redeeming those moments. But I would do this, either write your dream, record it, or talk about it to somebody. Because the more you talk about it, the more interpretation you will get. And what I love about dreams is most oftentimes you need somebody else to interpret it. Look at the examples through the scriptures. It's that moment that he's causing you to be dependent in a positive way with the rest of the body. Well, you can't just be on your own an island where you need people to give input into your life. So how to decipher what's God and what's not? Sometimes you don't know until you share it. So write it down, share it with somebody, and then people will give you insight. Hey, you thought it was this, but really this is what it means. And you're like, oh, I never saw it this way before. And of all the tips I could give is share your dream with somebody. It's just key.
A lot of times I'll get interpretations of stuff when I'm doing that. Like you start to share, you don't know what it means, you're thinking about it, and then all of a sudden I'll call somebody, hey, what do you think about this dream? And it's like, whereas we're talking, it just the download will come. And this, I'm an external processor anyway. I tend to need to hear myself say stuff for stuff to compute sometimes. So, but that's, yeah, it's so important. You know, dreams, let's get into this a little bit. So dreams are like any prophetic word. You get a revelation, you still have to have an interpretation and application to them. Okay, you get a revelation from God. I got, you know, Chris in that dream. This guy named Chris, he has a busted rib. That's a revelation. But what does it mean? I thought I was supposed to pray for his rib, literally, and that wasn't it at all. I needed the interpretation, which was he has a busted marriage, and I need to pray for him, okay? In the dream, he was so weak. Like, this guy was pretty big and pretty strong in the natural, but in the dream, he was like twice. He was half the size that he was in the normal because he hadn't been able to work out due to this busted rib. And I knew that was speaking to not him physically after I got the light bulb. I knew it was not him physically, but that's his spiritually. He just was half the man that he was, which we usually are when we lose our other half. So I needed an interpretation. This is about his marriage, and then how do I apply it? You know, what do I do with it? You know, obviously it's prayer. I need to pray for this guy. I never saw him again, you know, but I could always pray. And so God will give us dreams all the times. A lot of times I'll get dreams for people, just like I get prophetic words for people. A lot of times I'll have dreams for people, and I can call them and say, hey, I dreamed this, da-da-da-da-da. And so what we have to begin to do is learn to figure out what is God, what is not God, okay? So the key to that is really doing it a lot. Like any prophetic things, the more you do it, the more you'll recognize God's fingerprint on something, like just like giving words. Certain ways I hear from the Lord now, I've gotten stuff from the Lord so many times in a particular way. Like, for instance, if I look at somebody and they all of a sudden remind me of someone, I've learned to recognize when that's usually the Lord or when it's they're naturally looking like someone. That's because I've been doing it for 24 years. I mean, it just you do something a lot, you begin to recognize it. And that's the way it is with dreams. You begin to process your dreams. Okay, is this the Lord? And you begin to think about it and pray about it. And then all of a sudden you begin to realize, oh, this really is the Lord. Or, man, you know what? That really wasn't the Lord. Let's just flush that, right? So one of the most important things you can do for any prophetic word and getting revelation is asking. We receive not because we ask not. The Bible says if you seek, ye shall find. If you knock, the doors will be open to you. When we get prophetic revelation, any kind of prophetic revelation, whether it be dreams or anything, we need to go to the Lord. What does this mean? Don't just throw it aside. Don't just say it doesn't mean anything. Don't devalue it by not investing in it. Ask God, Lord, is this you? Is the creator of the universe trying to communicate something to me? And if the most important being in the whole entire world is trying to say something, it's worth us stopping, writing the thing down, telling somebody about it, praying over it. I've had so many dreams that I didn't know what they meant, and then all of a sudden, bam, it's just like you're driving down the road one day, and all of a sudden you understand it. You know what it means. And so you can't even throw away the dreams that you don't know what they mean, because they may make total sense 5 years later. But the first step is always asking. What are you saying, Lord? And sometimes you got to ask and continue asking, right? So asking is the first step. You look at the disciples when Jesus was about to be crucified and they were having the Last Supper, and the Lord says, he starts talking about Judas and how Judas was going to betray him. Now, he didn't mention his name, but he said, the one that dips his hand in the bowl with me is the one who will betray me. And Peter says to John, who was laying on his chest, tell us who it is. And I was asking the Lord one day, what is the key to hearing the secret things of the Lord? And he pointed me to that scripture, and he said it's to be like John. He was the closest one to me, and he had his head on my chest. Anything he would have asked me, I would have told him. And so the key for us in our desire to know the secrets of God, the interpretations, the revelations, is to get so close to Jesus where we're learning to lay our head on his chest. When we're intimate with him, there's a whole nother level of revelation. There's a whole nother level of insight and understanding. John was the one that got the answer to that, and it was because of his proximity. So we want to get close. The closer you get, the more revelation you're going to get, the more stuff you're going to get, because it's just like Paul's saying, it's a relationship, you know? Yeah. So when we're asking stuff, the other way is, you know, symbolism is important. You know, it's not that we're wanting to set up a, you know, what do you call it? What do you call it? A
checklist.
a checklist or a decoder ring, you know, like Ralphie on. Yeah, it's not because you can't trust in that, because the Lord will speak to you one way, one time with a symbol, and the next time it might be totally different. And God speaks to each of us different because we all have a different language. You know, I'm a builder. God speaks to me a lot of times about building things. I tell you, I grew up, I loved professional wrestling. I was one of these country boys that come Saturday night when my parents were outside burning wood and listening to bluegrass, I was inside watching NWA. And I can tell you that the wrestlers in the 80s, you know, I know all about the wrestlers from the 80s and early 90s. And but it's funny because, you know, God will often...
America.
God will often speak to me in dreams. I'll have professional wrestling dreams. I will. And he began to show me about things that I'm wrestling with. And I've had so many times when the Lord's trying to warn me about pride that's rising up in my heart, I'll be wrestling Ric Flair. I'm just telling you. Because Ric Flair, if you know this guy in wrestling, he was like this and it was a show, I mean, but he was this arrogant, R-I-C-F-L-A-I-R, woo, till you walk that aisle. But he was this flamboyant, full of himself, arrogant wrestler with blonde hair, and they called him the Nature Boy, and he would throw his hair around, and he would walk around and strut, and he was just so, in the show, he is so full of himself. But I have found that every time I'm dealing with pride, that's pride starting to rise up, a lot of times I will dream that, and I'm like, oh, crap. I was like, Lord, okay, I just dreamed I'm wrestling with Flair. I'm wrestling with pride. What is it? And I wouldn't usually know when I first wake up, but as soon as I would start to ask the Lord, what is it? You know, sometime during the day, I would begin to see it. My eyes would be open. And you know what? I can repent, immediately embrace the humble position, and avoid a fall. Because pride always comes before fall. Scripture, right? And so God, and even in Job, when he talks about this, Job 33:15, in a dream, a vision of the night, when sound sleep falls on men, while they slumber in their beds, then he opens the ears of men and seals their instruction, that he may turn man aside from his conduct and keep man from pride. Okay? So that's one way the Lord has helped me over the years. I don't know if this is a little too real, but I mean, I think sometimes real is necessary because we live in a real world with real dangers. I've had times where I would have this girl from my high school. If she visits me in my dream, I know that there's going to be some kind of demonic woman who's trying to come and tempt me in my life. And if I dream it, I can be prepared for, and it's just happened, you know, where that week or that day, somebody's going to come and start flirting with me, and I'll know it because of a dream I have the night before. And I can be prepared for it, and so Lindsay don't beat my butt. And I can turn away. And I hit like clockwork. When this high school girl that I knew in high school, when I dream about her, like clockwork, the next day or within a day or two, there will be some lady that begins to come on to me in a way that's demonic. And the Lord warns me, and he prepares me. And learning to listen has actually, you know, I think saves my life. And I believe we need to learn how to listen to this because God's trying to save our lives. He's trying to help us. And if we don't recognize when he's speaking, then we're missing the power of the message that can rescue us. You know what I mean? And I'm just being real with you. I mean, that's real, but... just being real. We need real help, and this is real help. And so we have to learn to listen to these dreams. And jump in anytime.
Yeah, that's good. That's right on. You know, it's out of God's mercy he speaks to us in dreams. My gosh, we're so thick-headed sometimes. You know, I don't care if you're the most prophetic person in the world. Like, you have filters, and there are things that you just can't hear when you're awake. And out of God's awesome mercy for us, he speaks to us when we're asleep, you know, in dreams and stuff. So those, so we were kind of talking about like the three different ways that the three different types of dreams. And practically speaking, when you get a dream, write it down. Okay. And I'm just kind of reviewing what we were all talking about here. Write it down. Ask for dreams. from the Lord, because you're dreaming whether you like it or not, but ask specifically for dreams from the Lord. And when you do get dreams, value it. Write it down immediately. Pray over it. And ask the Lord, Lord, is this you? Is this what is this? Share it with people that you trust, that who maybe have some experience with, you know, the prophetic and interpreting dreams and stuff like that. That's actually a gift, you know. Joseph had that gift. But it's really, I don't want to like say only one person or something. Everybody has that gift because it's all about proximity. What it's all about, you know, what Travis was talking about, John being on the chest of Jesus. Because that's all, we all have that same access right now. Right now. We all, right now, because the blood of Jesus, can lay our head on the chest of Jesus, the God of the universe. And that's actually his heart. That's not something that we made up. That was his design from the very beginning. He wants all of us to be that close, that proximity. So, and all right, so another way, if you just, sometimes just practicing is how you learn. There's no other way to learn. Practicing this is the only way you're going to learn. Yeah, okay. Yeah, yeah. Because there's all kinds of types of dreams. Like I said, we are scratching such a surface. Like, we did a whole workshop on dreams, a whole Saturday on just doing, working through dreams. But just, like, man, God speaks to us a lot of times, you know, just give you guys like a, he actually can speak to other people for you through dreams. And this is like, and he can speak to non-believers. He can give non-believers dreams. I mean, remember Joseph and Pharaoh? Was Pharaoh a believer? No, not at all. And he can speak, actually give your kids dreams, give your neighbors dreams. Like, this is a crazy instance. I was like convinced at this point, you know. So, you guys, I gave you my car flipping story last time, right? Well, I got another one for you. So, because, you know, I found this car on Craigslist, and I was like, okay, this is a deal. This is, man, I'm going to make some money off of this thing. And so we went, I took the kids with, because we were going to some friend's house in Holden Beach. So I was like, okay, this is cool. I'll go down, because the car was down in Oak Island. I was like, I'm going to go down to Oak Island, and then we're going to come back to Holden Beach and visit friends. And as we're driving down there, okay, and remember, like, the Lord, like, I talk to the Lord all the time, especially about business stuff, like, because, you know, he wants to get in all that kind of stuff. And, gosh, we know the God of the universe. Why can't we know some secrets about, you know, doing some good business, right? And so I'm talking to the Lord about it, you know, not really getting too much about it. And we're driving down to Oak Island. It's like hour and a half, whatever, hour drive. And Heather's like, you know what? Annabelle told me that she had this crazy dream. Now, Heather's my wife, you don't know. And Annabelle is my eldest daughter, but she was about 5 at this time. And she's like, Annabelle came up to me and said she had this weird dream. And she said that you were fighting with this fox. And he was biting you and all that kind of stuff. And, you know, I was like, oh, that's weird. That's weird. So we, you know, okay, I was like, okay, that's weird. You know, so we were driving down the road, and we pull into Oak Island, and we're going down one of the side streets to get to the guy's house, and a fox runs right out in front of the van. I almost hit it. I almost ran it over. I slam on the brakes, and I was like, fox. Wait, Annabelle, fox, fighting with fox. That's so weird, okay? So ding, 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 you know, this is the burning bush, turn aside. If you I'm not that dull, you know, but, like, I did know to actually turn aside here and be like, all right, Lord, Annabelle had a dream last night of me fighting with a fox. I almost hit a fox. I don't never seen a fox, you know, here. And what are you trying to say? And immediately a scripture pops into my mind. And I don't even know the scripture right now. I just know I've read it before. You know, it's in Proverbs about, like, don't get in the middle of a fight, basically. Don't grab a dog by its ears or something like that. Immediately pops up. I'm like, man, that's a weird. You know, I look up the scripture, and I was like, oh, man, don't get into another man's fight. That's basically what the scripture said. So I was like, okay, so we get down there. So all this, And I wasn't like, you know, full of fear. I had like, actually had this confidence about, okay, well, we're just going to walk this thing out and see what happens. So I go up there. I meet the guy. He's like, oh, yeah. Immediately he's like, oh, yeah, it's actually not my truck. It's my friend, or he was my friend. He lives in Colorado now. We're kind of fighting over the title and all this stuff. So, and I was like, oh, my gosh. Immediately the dream comes in, don't fight with the fox, all right? Don't get into another man's fight, or, you know, you're going to get bit, right? So I was like, okay, yeah, okay, all right, I'll let you know, and we headed out of there, you know. But that all came from, like, my daughter, who's 5 years old, that the Lord gave a dream because he loves me and he loves my family, and he wanted to let us know, hey, watch out, don't get in this, you know what I mean? That's how awesome God is. That's how powerful a simple dream can be, and that's how powerful, like, and I mean, and God can speak to anybody. You don't have to be a prophet. You don't have to have a long beard. You don't have to go to all the prophetic conferences that Morningstar has at Fort Mill. I mean, they're good, but, like, that doesn't qualify you from having a close, intimate relationship and prophetic gifting with the Lord, okay? All of us here can be Bob Jones. Whether you, and some of you might be like, no, I can't be Bob Jones. It is your calling. And if you don't believe that, then you don't believe the work of the cross. Because that's what the work of the cross was, to be a friend of God, to be a son and a daughter, to be about your Father's business. Okay? You guys want to add anything else?
Yeah. So, like we do for prophetic exercises, I mean, we could all take a nap and see what happens, but we all have things to do. But it's good to interpret dreams together to give you a sense of how to decipher and wrestle with those ideas and come up with a, you know, an interpretation. Dreams for me have had, they had been either directional, instructional, or liberating. And those things have been manifested in my life. We could talk about some of the examples. But let's do this, since we can't take a nap, and it's already quarter till. Why don't we bring our dreams next week, Sunday, and we will have a panel up here of people who have interpreted dreams, who have, you know, demonstrated some acumen would be the right word, proficiency, and then we'll pick up a few dreams from the you guys, and we'll work through them to see what the Lord is saying. Is that all right? So, Lord, we ask you for this coming week that you would reopen those veins, those wells of prophetic dreams, of speaking through the night, speaking in the night. And Lord, great things we ask, that you would bring liberation, you would bring instruction, you would bring details, information on our lives, on the life of others, on personal or corporate. Lord, we ask you to remove any blocks that we may have regarding the way you speak in dreams, and you would give us rest during this coming week. In Jesus' name.